Hopefully you've been enjoying the spa music we've been playing you.
It's Ennio Morricone, one of the great composers, man.
Well, it's time for Soul Survivor on the Drew Marshall Show. Religious tribes competing for the soul of one person. Our Soul Survivor is in studio. We did this 2 years ago. It was cray-cray. We're bringing it back. Tribal leaders explain to our Soul Survivor what it is that their tribe actually believes, and the tribal leaders will not have immunity. Our Soul Survivor will be able to challenge, critique, or question any aspect of all tribal codes. At the end of the contest, our Soul Survivor will then decide which tribe presented the most compelling case for faith, and then reveal to us, maybe, if they'll join that tribe, or if they just thought they did a good job of presenting the case for faith. So I want to introduce to everybody our Soul Survivor. We had four gentlemen in our studio last week, Larry, Curly, Mo, and Shemp, and we decided to pick Shemp. Ryan is the gentleman we decided to go with this year. Ryan, did you think that you were going to get picked? Is there anything inside? Did the Lord give you a message?
I didn't get any message from the Lord, but the closest thing to it was I got a message from the young lady who actually was raised in a Mormon household, who drove me here and drove me back.
Interesting.
Coincidence. Or is Lord's
it,
doing.
Or is it the Lord's doing, yes.
No, it's the mother's doing, right?
Yeah.
The mother feeling.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, actually, I was quite frustrated with my performance last week. I don't know. Apart from being honest and forthright and forthcoming, I thought none of those were what actually conveyed a religious sentiment to them. So I
really thought your honesty and forthrightness wasn't something we were looking for.
Well, no, it's not consistent with religious.
Oh well, okay. Well, it is. It is here.
You don't listen to this show, do you?
It is here. I'm going to ask Tim to do me a favor here,
yes,
right,
sir.
Now, because I just need to check on something. That's Ryan's bio.
Okay.
This is your elocution. Lesson.
Oh,
electrocution
wonderful.
Lesson.
Oh, it's so close to that
so
word.
You guys want to talk about the bio just for a second?
Sure.
I need to go do something.
All right. So, Ryan,
yes,
first of all, I mean, we've already had the conversation about your wonderful name sharing with the incredible Canadian actor, who I believe is a Mormon. Raised Mormon, wasn't he?
Well, actually, and if you look further into it, right here in Burlington was Ryan Gosling, who was raised Mormon.
Oh, that's
as well.
Okay. I'm getting those two confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was out in BC. Anyways, so you're born in Newmarket, 17 years of your life in Pefferlaw.
Downtown Pefferlaw.
Downtown. The bustling metropolis of. So you're Lake Simcoe. That must have been a nice place to grow up in.
Gorgeous. Yeah. We were a bike ride from the beach. I had 50 acres horse farm. It was.
So what kind of horses did you guys raise?
Standardbred racehorses.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that really hit you with those horses that were killed about a month.
Actually, I did a lot of work in that barn at Classy Lane.
So you knew the barn.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
All of them. Yeah. Danny Legacy, Chantel Mitchell, Ben Wallace. He's been a great trainer for years. Yeah, that was tough.
Wow. So you were smarticle in school, and you were super duper athlete, and you're good at shoveling horse poop, I guess.
Absolutely.
So you've got some really important gifts there. So it started in Sunday school, where you weren't too sure about that part of your life. The what was it about the Sunday school that troubled you?
Well, keeping in mind that I was very young at the time, the Sunday school teacher's name was Shirley Jaconin, and I still remember to this day questioning, you know, and as I said last week on the show, I mean, Moses having children at that age, Jonah and the whale.
Right.
Talking donkey.
No, was it, sorry, just to interrupt here, is it like Catholic or a Protestant or what
it
kind
was,
of church
well,
was
you got to remember, this is Pefferlaw. So
okay.
there was probably 40 or 50 kids in the whole town, and we all went to the same. It was a united church,
oh, okay.
Church
right,
of the
right.
Nazarene, if
okay.
you will.
And, all right.
Yeah.
Now, and then you went to university, and it was still kind of a struggle there. And what are your parents like? Were they fairly religious people or...?
My mother has continued to go to church, and still to this day, she does solos and she sings, and she's obviously an adamant member of the church choir. My father's kind of relinquished said religious values. He doesn't go to church or anything.
Now, is he an atheist or he's just lazy?
No, he was raised Roman Catholic, okay. The oldest of four, and I think that he just came to his senses in his 20s and basically said, screw it, yeah.
So he just sort of kept it up for appearances with mother?
Yeah, I think most people do that.
Yeah, but it says here your mom was actually pretty chill about it in the fact that she sort of didn't force you into...
No. To their credit, I was never baptized, which I passed along to my children. I will still go to, you know, a Christmas mass or an Easter thing with my mother, mostly just to hear her sing because she sings beautifully.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You've got two boys, right?
I do.
Gabriel and Aiden. Okay. What have you done over the years? It says you've got quite an interesting sort of resume, curriculum vitae or whatever they call it. Yes, your CV.
I actually want to get right into this. Did you run strip clubs?
Yeah.
All right.
The first time we've ever had someone on the show who's...
No, actually, I was putting myself through school running a stable in Windsor, Ontario, and the girl I was seeing at the time, she had an affinity for marijuana.
Okay.
Who, in all fairness to her, she got her law degree and she now runs the consulate in England. She's a very sharp girl.
Wow.
But... the first night I met the mother of my children was in one said establishment.
One said establishment.
Yeah.
Was she working? Or,
well, we don't have to get into that, I think.
No, when I was reading your bio, I just came across that, and you know, you said gentlemen's clubs, and I went, wow, okay. So kind of
an interesting cross-section, to say the least.
Yeah, because you've also done work for a lot of notable people, three prime ministers, a president, several MPs, MPPs, senators, high-up staffers. Speaking of marijuana, rock stars, professional athletes, royalty, TV celebs, and even Pope John Paul in 2002.
It says police as well. Did I read that right? RCMP? Was there?
No.
No.
Thought I heard police. I didn't in there. Work for them. I was.
You spent time with them?
I spent time with them briefly.
We don't want to know anything else. No, that's it. So what we're trying to get here is there's a cross-section of things that you've done throughout your life. Mm-hmm. You have had some religious stuff in your background, and you and if I could summarize this, you really you grew up with religious stuff. You got to the point where you said this is garbage. You became sort of did that journey: agnostic, atheist, anti-theist, and then all of a sudden, you had this sort of wake up call with some bad health stuff, and now you're wondering, did I summarize that pathetically?
No, I think that's terribly accurate, actually. It might be recognized as a cowardice approach, but...
Why? Who would say that?
Well, if you stand by what you believed in your whole life and you've preached this to other people and you've been entirely arrogant and taken them down a notch on to how they see their own spirituality or their own beliefs, and then all of a sudden when you're in trouble, you decide to backtrack and say, you know what, I'm going to... I really have to just plead humility on this. Maybe a little bit scared. Maybe I don't want to make the wrong call. And I thought this was a great opportunity to see what these faiths had to offer. I mean, with the exception of Hinduism, being obviously not monotheistic, the big three, you got Judaism, Islam, Christianity. And what else did we go with? Mormonism and Hinduism.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And just to let everybody know, in just a second, we're going to be speaking with Robert L. Millett. I call him Bob. Dr. Robert L. Millett. He's one of the world's leading Mormon scholars, kind of a big dude in the Mormon scene. That's such a respectful way to describe him. but next week also, we're going to talk about tribe Hindu and representing tribe Hindu. The tribal leader for tribe Hindu is going to be Gandhi's grandson.
You're kidding.
No. Yeah.
Oh, so wow.
He'll be on our show next week. And I'm not going to let anybody else know about any other guests coming in the future because we haven't booked them yet. Yeah.
The Pope will be representing Christianity.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right, I'd love to talk to Frank.
Yes. He would be very cool. There's no, Frank. You know, the old statement that there's no atheists in foxholes. And I don't think it's a cowardice thing. I think it's just, it's reality. It's fear, and bravery isn't the absence of fear. It's facing it, and I don't think there's a problem with what you're saying and how you're approaching it. I don't think you need to be worried about.
No, he's worried about, I think, let me put words in this. We've got to get to Bob here. What you're worried about is your tribe who had a certain kind of je ne sais quoi about them. You know, there is.
Or as the French say, I don't know what.
Or I don't know what. No, there's a sort of a. You know, the reality is they might look at you and go, really, you chicken sellout.
Yeah.
Told you so.
All right.
Listen, if I'm on my deathbed and, you know, I'm not going with Hitchens all the way there, okay? When you're on your deathbed and you got one last shot, what's the harm in trying? I mean, if there happens to be something, who the hell cares? Like, just...
Yeah, lean in.
Yeah.
Lean in. Right
into the bleachers and swing.
All right, let's get to, folks, everybody, this is our Soul Survivor 2016, Ryan. And I'd like to now introduce you to the gentleman who will be representing Tribe Mormon. He is our tribal leader today. We need more scary music again. I don't know. Dr. Robert L. Millett. He is one of the world's leading Mormon scholars. And I like this guy because he's a good communicator. He doesn't take himself or his world too seriously. He's got a good sense of humor, and yet he knows his stuff. Bob, you're on the phone?
Am I supposed to exercise some kind of sense of humor? Would that be appropriate?
Well, I think...
I'm on the phone.
Bob, at your age, any kind of exercise is good. Okay?
Oh, the movement beyond moving my eyeballs would be wonderfully received.
Yeah. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How about you?
I'm quite well as well. Bob Millett is coordinator at the Office of Religious Outreach and Professor Emeritus of Religious Education at BYU. After joining the BYU faculty, of course, Brigham Young University, in 1983, he served as chair of the Department of Ancient Scripture, dean of the College of Religious Education, and Richard L. Evans Professor of Religious Understanding. He is the author or editor of over 70 books, 200 articles, book chapters dealing mostly with the doctrine and history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and its relationship to specifically to other faiths. So he's been on our show before numerous times. He is our go-to big kahuna in the Mormon church. He's our go-to guy. All right? Bob, I want to introduce you to Ryan, who is our soul survivor. Ryan, I want to just start right off the top by saying you knew you were going to have Bob on the show today. I want the first question right out of the gate. What do you want to ask the tribal leader for Tribe Mormon?
How long have you been a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints, Dr. Millett?
I actually was raised LDS. I was born and raised in Louisiana, in the Baton Rouge area. And there weren't that many Mormons in the area, but my father was raised LDS in that area as well. And his father, my grandfather, joined the LDS faith in the New Orleans area in the 1930s. And so I was raised in the church.
So... I'm sorry, you're not right in front of me. I can't even make a judgment call. But
he's a good-looking guy.
Well, I believe you. He sounds delightful. what I'm curious about, Dr. Millett, you're a member of the church through the 60s and 70s?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the controversies. How did he handle them? How did he stay in the church?
Well, yeah, I'm curious. I mean, like, up until... And I mean, even you got to... That fella there in Utah running for president a couple of times. But, you guys were both members of the church through the 60s and 70s, and I was just wondering what it was like to be a member of a essentially officially racist organization. I mean, I see where Christianity gets it. I mean, it's the time, and you don't get an idea, and it's slavery and genocide and all the rest of it. But this is less than two centuries old, and... I mean, you couldn't let a black guy be a priest at 14. But in 78, 79, in truth, like I see how it happened. That I just wondered if there's some reconciliation for that, like within yourselves as members.
Interesting. So what I hear you saying is, do you feel bad about the fact that you've been part of an organization that went through that dark history? No pun intended. and are you sick of this issue coming up, even, Bob?
No, I'm not sick of it coming up. I don't have a lot of answers beyond the fact that it wasn't until 1978 that the church made a change on that, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that in 78 the change was made. I grew up among blacks and whites, and and I don't think I was a very prejudiced person. But I don't know all the answers as to why the church held to this position for so long. I think it's a combination of people who were living in the 19th century being influenced largely by the culture about them. And I was in a meeting a couple of years ago, and someone from, I think, from the New York Times asked, would you think that Mormonism is racist? And that's getting at your point. I said, I suppose you could read some of the statements and things about by LDS church leaders in the 19th century and come away saying, man, these are racist people. But not more so than anyone else in the 19th century. I'm not justifying racism. I'm saying sometimes to jerk it out of context, it causes you to get a warped picture. And so, yeah, I think Latter-day Saints reflected some racism in the 19th century. I think to the extent that we could in the 20th century and during my period in the 60s and 70s, we tried to be as loving and kind, but the church held her position until 78. I don't know. Beyond that, I think move on. I mean, the church has tried to move on. We just need to do so.
But I mean, Ryan, what's behind that question is, if I'm to consider a variety of world religions, Mormonism would be one of them, and as I look at the history of the Mormon Church, I'm sure, Bob, I'm sure Ryan is sitting there going, let me just put words in your mouth, you're sitting right beside me. Ryan is sitting there going, but the checkered past, the bad decisions, that puts into question the validity of this deity based organization.
Well, let's be fair.
Would that be true with Christianity from the 19th century as well?
Well, let's be fair, Dr. Mellett.
Let me go on with my sentence. If we have Baptist pastors, for example, preaching that slavery is justified from the Bible, what I'm saying is, everybody has a portion of their past where they look back and they say, well, I don't quite understand why they took that position, but
got that one wrong.
Let's look at this objectively. I mean, you're talking about 2,000 years ago, where you're in the middle of the desert with a bunch of illiterate Bronze Age human beings who are. This is basically being forced upon. They didn't know where the sun went at night. Okay, now you're talking about a man who founded a religion from Palmyra, New York, 4 years after being convicted of impostery and fraud in a New York court.
Is that true?
Yes,
Dr. Millett, is that true?
Same as he was in Ohio, same as he was in Illinois. This is an impostery.
Drew?
Let me
draw a conclusion here. If I'm actually going to spend the whole time responding to kind of anti-Mormon criticism, I think I'm about done, okay?
So okay, let's apologize.
Let's close things off for now.
I will close it off now,
and perhaps you guys can have a good session among yourselves. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Did we offend you with these questions, Bob? I guess we did.
The best person. What I was going to tell the good doctor before he left is the finest woman I've ever met in my life. I got to spend 2 years of my life with, and she's still my best friend. She actually drove me here last week to this interview, and she was raised Mormon. I went to a wedding last year. We went to the temple, and fantastic values, fantastic upbringing, great familial traits. I certainly didn't mean to offend the good doctor.
But these are.
Touchy issues.
Well, they are, but what everybody has to realize is, this is not the first time that these issues have been brought up with them, with any Mormon leaders, especially ones of Bob's caliber. And, maybe Bob's having a bad day. We all have days like that. We couldn't get a hold of him at 4:10, so maybe he was in the middle of something, and maybe there's something going on. But this is the premise of this show is to be able to ask the hard questions. They're not all hard questions, but I think maybe what Bob is feeling is that, Whoa, your guns a-blazing here. Are you really interested in this Mormon faith? Because it just sounds like we're into a sort of an apologetics battle. You know, it sounds like we're into, you know, a sort of a journalistic, you know, attack kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. But it was hardly far into the interview, far enough into the interview to be able to come to that conclusion, I don't think.
It's too bad we couldn't get him back. Because, the other thing, when I went to that Mormon wedding last year, actually it was my girlfriend at the time, her daughter that was getting married, and it's the only one of, she has four children, mm-hmm. and it was the only one of four who still practices the faith. And I went there, I spoke to her father at length about traditions and what the Mormons believe and all the rest of it, and I was really hoping to have some sort of meaningful dialogue with this gentleman, but
But I think it's, you can't avoid some of these issues and trying to put your head around it. And I know, with Islam, everybody's, caught up in all the terrorism that's going on. It's something you can't avoid. And I don't think there's a problem with asking those questions. It's too bad. It's too bad that this went the way that it did. Because
did I step over the line, though, Tim?
I don't think.
Well, hold on. Let me just say, I don't think you did, because when I think about this in context, in 13 years, that's the first person to actually hang up the phone. Even Chris Jericho said goodbye.
Yeah.
Who was the wrestler
yes.
who got offended because I asked if he was 5'8 or 5'11.
Right.
You can't tell where people are at. So this is the first time anybody has ever said it.
And
he sort of said, if this is what it's going to be, then we need to stop the.
But
which
we didn't get a chance.
I took as, okay, well, let's change direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it just finished there. So.
I know, unless the cell phone went down. No, I don't. I guess when you do what you do and you maybe get these questions asked a lot, then you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, you must get pretty frustrated with them.
And the challenge is, it's the first time that you've asked the questions, but maybe it's like the 500th time he's heard them. And so that's, I'm a teacher. I get it. Kids ask me the same questions all the time. And so
why is the sky blue, Tim?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So
at the end of each segment, one of our finalists who weren't chosen to be this year's Soul Survivor will join us to give their thoughts on our Soul Survivor interview, which is going to be interesting today. So I would like to introduce you to Matt, who is on the phone with us at this point in time. Matt, thanks for... Did you hear that little bit of an interview we did with Bob Millett?
Well, I was laughing for half of it, but yeah, I heard it.
So what do you think happened, just from an outsider's perspective? You were listening.
You know what? I was thinking about what I was going to say. And, if you're going to ask questions like that, and you're going to ask hard questions, it's sad because you can guarantee there's a Mormon leader out there that would have been able to answer all those questions. They can always rationalize anything. Mm-hmm. There's bad PR going on with Islam, with Catholicism, but there's people out there that can answer these questions. And it's sad. It looks bad on the Mormon religion that are going all over the world and like doing missionary work if they can't even answer basic questions about the foundation of their own beliefs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's just sad, personally.
So, but did you pick up on anything that you thought, ooh, this guy's going to get ticked? He's going to say he might hang up.
Yeah, like the I'm sorry to say it, but the whole religion to me was exactly how Ryan asked it, and I would ask the same question.
No, but what I'm asking you is, did you pick up anything about how we handled the interview that might have triggered in your brain?
No, not at all. No, it wasn't you guys at all. It was just a hard question he didn't expect.
Right.
Maybe you should have given him a trigger warning, but what does he expect?
Yeah. In your research, it sounds very scientific, but in your world, have you ever looked into Mormonism yourself?
The only thing I know about Mormonism, and this is sad to say, is I learned it from a South Park episode.
Dum-da-dum-dum-dum.
Watch that episode. I learned about Scientology from a South Park episode. And then Googling. That's how people learn about religions now. They go on Google. Nobody really reads books anymore. You go on Google, you learn the basics of it. You learn the foundation, how it started. And obviously, he just didn't want to answer how and questions about how it started, I guess.
If you were the sole survivor that we had picked, but we didn't, sorry about that.
That's okay, buddy.
Thank you. If you were sitting here, what would be your first couple of questions?
I don't know. I was thinking about that, and maybe knowing now what happened, I would have gave a trigger warning saying, listen, like, there's a couple questions that are going to be hard, but I know there's a lot of, and I think there are a lot of beautiful things in pretty much every religion. We'll get to those, but I'd really like to get these out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I would ask the exact same question, and I good on Ryan for doing that.
I mean, the elephant in the room. You
It is.
Yeah, you got to talk about it.
Does that have anything to do with the fat lady singing?
No. Two completely different things.
Okay. Seriously?
Sorry, I just, that. You know, I was going for the sound effects.
What a fool. Now, next week on our show, we have the grandson of Gandhi as our...
amazing.
How cool is that?
That's amazing. Good, yeah. Good on you guys for doing that.
So he will represent tribe Hindu. Do you think if this interview had gone down a little differently, do you think you would come out with some... I mean, have you studied the thing yet? Do you know what you'd ask? Do you have a couple of right off the cuff questions?
As far as Hinduism?
Yeah,
well,
right.
I find it unique to the other religions, being that it's the only one that's not monotheistic.
Right.
And that kind of takes you a step back in history. It's not to say that one is more valid than the other, but there's certainly, it opens the gate for a lot more unique questions, mm-hmm. about different gods, about why you feel the necessity to have different gods, mm-hmm. and you know what you're looking for.
Being as though it's Gandhi's grandson, do you come with that with a certain more, I don't know, more respect than...
Absolutely.
You do?
Okay, yeah. I'm a Ben Kingsley fan anyway, but you have to look at... what that man actually accomplished in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, for, what is there, 750 million Hindus on the planet? It's got to be third most religion, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Sure. Sounds good
if
to me.
Not most.
No, it's okay. Not the most.
No. But no, I...
biggest would be the word.
I certainly have a lot of questions. And you know, the nice part about it, it wouldn't be some, no offense to Dr. Millett, but... I guarantee you, a man from that genealogical cycle of Gandhi, mm-hmm. Lawyer,
wonder
patriot,
if he'd hang up.
Everything. No, there's no way, mm-hmm. because he'd have far too much respect for himself, and he'd be able to defend his faith as he saw fit.
Right.
And I don't mean to be rude, but I look forward to that interview as opposed to the cowardice of hanging up the phone.
Sure, sure.
Well, just be warned. I mean, genetics doesn't.
No,
mean anything.
Skips a generation.
I'm
or
the
two.
Only bald person in my family.
Yeah, well, God only made so many perfect heads; the rest he had to cover up.
let me just say, Matt, since you're not here next week, we're going to have Greg on as our tribal council member. Matt, if you were to have Gandhi's grandson on the phone with you next week, what do you think you'd ask? Just off the top of your head. Again, he's not about Gandhi stuff, about Hindu stuff. We don't want to get hijacked by the Gandhi stuff.
Well, it's a Hindu-Muslim split too, so
yeah.
I don't know much. I never really looked into Hinduism too much. I would basically ask the foundations, like, what are the tenets of your beliefs and what do you guys believe in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the only thing that I really know about Gandhi and Hinduism, maybe they go together, but is the nonviolence that he was so fond of, and just the idea of allowing the British colonialists coming in and just completely slaughtering them. That just blows my mind, and I'm just curious if that reflects Hinduism itself.
Gandhi
or...
Tim?
That's the only thing I would know. I would have to do my research.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality of the situation is like every religion. I mean, you know, at one point, you know, Hindus were killing Muslims, wiping them out as well. So it's not to say...
And vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, like...
So
no,
was Gandhi
no religion,
a great man because he was Gandhi or because he was a Hindu?
Because he preached nonviolence.
Right, so that's
he
like
wanted to
King.
Solve problems, mm-hmm. without killing people.
So when
now,
it comes...
Is that a tenet of the faith?
He got it from Jesus, apparently. That was who he was inspired by. And then, ironically, Martin Luther King was inspired by a Hindu. Gandhi.
So when it comes to having respect for various world religions, let alone buying into one, how much of it do you think really has to do with the people who are in that religion and how they act, as opposed to what the religion teaches?
Well, to be fair,
I just have to say this. I love that Gandhi said, I love your Christ, but not your Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, God is not the problem. It's his fan club. It's, you know, that definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's just like saying it's not the book, it's the reader. And every book I've read, I think that's the same issue with. But.
Okay, so go back to my question. Which is going to have more of an impact on you, Ryan? Is it going to be the fact that you have somebody in your life who is a rock star human being, has a huge impact on your life, and they happen to be a Buddhist, that makes you more interested in Buddhism? Or is it going to be the readings of Buddhism that turns you on to Buddhism more than the Buddhist?
I would say it's probably the latter. Whatever helped make that person who they are.
Right.
And if I see that person, and for instance, the girl I was talking about earlier that grew up the oldest of five in a Mormon religion, mm-hmm. She's the best woman I've ever met in my life. She's not.
So does that turn you on to Mormonism or just turn you on to her?
It turns me on to the curiosity of Mormonism, mm-hmm. But she's not non-observant. But as she said, you know, my family are great people. They still all practice. They mm-hmm. still go to church. They still go to temple. And just because I don't do it, I don't think it's any reason to judge. But it's not hurting anything. Mm-hmm. The only problem that I had that she has as well is the proselytizing, sending a 12-year-old can be a deacon, a 14-year-old's a priest, and an 18-year-old is an elder. And these people are going out on missions trying to recruit people for said church so they can give 10% of whatever they make after having a fantastic education. So in this day and age, say you're making $1.50 a year. So you're given $15,000 a year. Your wife makes $1.50 a year. You're given your household is giving that church $30,000 a year. Build, build, build. Mm-hmm. Where does all this money go? And that's the thing. There's no openness to it. So, you know, this woman, who I won't divulge your name, but she does.
It's not Marie Osmond, is it?
No, okay, you got the first letter right. But they do wonderful things, but I don't think that it has to do with the Mormon religion, but I don't think it hurt her in any way.
Okay, so my impression of what you just said would then make me think this, and I want to ask you this, Matt. Ryan, your questions, even though I'm asking Matt, your questions were about Mormons doing goofy things.
Yeah.
And yet you said it's because somebody you know who's a Mormon is someone, you know, who's just rocked your world. You very much appreciate them. So it really has nothing to do with the religious scripture at all.
No.
It has to do with how the Mormons live.
Well,
and listen.
My question would be, would you believe in Scientology and follow Scientology knowing their beliefs?
No, absolutely not.
Just because it makes them feel better?
But in all fairness, L. Ron Hubbard has nothing to do with Joseph Smith ripping off, you know, Christianity. Well, let's say ripping off Muhammad, Muslims, who ripped off Christianity, who ripped off the Talmud. Like, it's a continual ripoff. And, you know, the plagiarizing of religions. And it's fine that he had certain stories like The Lost Hebrews, which is a book that came out right before that, or Spalding's book that came out that was essentially the same as the Book of Mormons. He just cherry-picked what he wanted. He was a con man. He got arrested in four states.
So. Okay, so this is what in this point in the conversation, I want to push pause, and I want to just change gears into your journey, your personal journey, Ryan, because this is what I've heard. I used to be a real jerk about religion. Now I got some bad physical stuff happening. I need to explore things at this point in my life. Do you think you're ever going to get past the jerkiness of what was in you in order to genuinely be an open, searching, willing to be vulnerable person in this realm? Because the way you communicate things still sounds like old you guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What I will say is, you know, the older religions, let's say the big three, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, you know, there are certain tenets, if you will, that I think are are hard to discuss for a lot of people, but can open a lot of doors. I think those newer ones, and it's unfortunate that it got started on this foot as far as Mormonism goes, but I think that one was pretty much out the window before it was defeated before it got started. Not to be totally closed-minded, but I mean, there's crazy and there's crazy.
But you hear like I'm getting your vernacular. I'm getting the filler phrasing. I'm getting the listen, I resonate with a lot of what you're saying. I do. But if you're legitimately searching, if you're legitimately seeking, what I had to do was be very careful that when I came out about my lack of certainty, because I came out of 30 years of being a certaintist, that I remained arms open as opposed to arms closed. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're talking about body language and communication with another, you know, human, you know, when someone closes off with their body language. And so how do you know that you're open? How do you know that you're not closed off? How do you know that? Because I don't know you at all. I've met you twice.
All right. Well, here we go. We'll just do it right on the air. We'll do it right in front of all your listeners.
What's happening here?
No. I had, and still do. A significant problem, and let's just say it was a 12-step program. Step two was recognizing that there's a force higher than you.
Higher power, yeah.
Recognizing a higher power. And I struggled with that for a long time. When I found out what that higher power was, I wouldn't say it was cured, but I was on the right path. So I do recognize whether it's throwing your hands up to the cosmos and just realizing that there's something more than you out there mm-hmm. that not necessarily is guiding your path, but it's kind of pushing you in the right direction, like the Adjustment Bureau, that Matt Damon movie. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's there. And if one of these religions, one of these faiths can push me in that right direction and tell me what to do, like I said, I slammed a lot of doors closed. I've opened all those doors over the last few years, and what I would like to do is have one of those religions just give me that little nudge. Just push me through that door.
Mm-hmm.
And I am more than open to that. Unfortunately, today, I don't think that worked out, and I apologize, but that's not to say that the three big ones won't, because there's got to be something to them. We're talking about, well, less Judaism, but we're talking about Muslims and Christians. There's over a billion of these cats floating around the earth. Hmm. There's got to be something to it.
Floating around
my
the earth.
Sorry to jump in. Yeah. My question, Ryan, would be, are you looking for it for what happens after death, or are you looking for the morals that are built into the religion, or are you...
Good question.
I've always had this wonderful trait, and actually it was a couple of girls in my life who described it as moral flexibility, which just means that you can be a dick and you're all right with it. I don't choose to go with that anymore. I'd rather be a decent person, and I'd rather be complaisant to every religion. I'm not really worried what happens after death.
So you would say more so about the morals of it?
I think so. I don't think I need any moral compass to know what's right and wrong, but I'd certainly like to have a way to make the world a better place when I go, and I think I'd like to make people around me be more fortunate for having knowing me.
Okay. I'm just looking at the clock and realizing we're running out of time here, so I want to bring this to a close with a couple of things. First of all, Matt, I'm sorry you got ripped off of stuff here today. I'm also sorry for Ryan. And I do, you know, it's easy to, you know, when someone hangs up on a radio show, it's easy to sort of take the mickey out of them afterwards. But who knows what's going on in Bob's life?
I don't think we did, though. I think we didn't do it this time. We did with Chris Jericho, but we didn't do it.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm standing back and looking at it. I think we were very respectful and right. thoughtful about it.
Right. Well, okay. I don't know. I always feel bad about that stuff. So, So that's the first thing. Second thing is, for those of you listening, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We are broadcasting on Joy 1250, which is Canada's largest faith-based station. And that means that there's a lot of mostly Christian programming on this show. Some would say it's a Christian station. Well, most people would say that it is a Christian station. And so that means that we are more apt to offend people on this station than any other station. And Ryan's new here. Ryan is not hip to the whole culture of things, and so we just honestly and authentically just want to say, hey, we don't mean to offend you by maybe certain things that we say here or there or slips out. I gave Ryan a little bit of a on-air lesson about things that he can't say on air. But look, you know, we're just trying to be authentic. We're trying to be just real about this whole spiritual search stuff. And if you're a follower of Christ and you're listening, then we would hope you would extend us some grace. And especially Ryan, I'm going to ask that. I didn't think I was going to do this. Okay, here we go. If you are a follower of Christ and you pray, to what you believe is the creator of the universe, and you believe the creator listens to your prayers, maybe you could pray for Ryan. Not for Matt, because he's not our soul survivor. You don't do
Never pray for me. I know where I'm headed.
I got friends in both places.
Yeah, oh, there you go. There you go. All right, so next week on our show, Soul Survivor continues, and I think the conversation will last a little longer. I keep saying, with Gandhi's grandson. He has a real name. Arun is his name.
Oh, okay.
Arun
last
Gandhi.
Name Gandhi.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's right. Oddly enough. So that's the end of our show. Thank you for tuning in. And, you know, I really want to say this authentically to everybody who listens to our show. May the God who sees you find you.
So I'll be asking for forgiveness then, until the day I die.